This morning we're going to look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 46. And that's a lot of verses, so we couldn't put it on the back of the program, so you actually have an insert. You have a couple inserts. This one is kind of a bifold open up. You'll see the scripture in there that you can follow along. Of course, you can always use your Bible. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It'll be on the wall. You see on that insert, the front page of that insert, you'll see, again, our growth group discussion guide. And that is kind of our roadmap when we're in our groups talking about the scripture, when you're this week in your groups. I encourage you to take this insert with you. You can read together from that. And let me encourage you, too, in your group. These are a lot of verses, 46 verses. But let me encourage you, read them again in your groups. Read it again out loud with each other. We're going to read it this morning. But that'll be one of the most important things you do in your group this week is to read those verses. It'll take you 5 or 6 minutes. But do that before you jump in and before you begin to grapple with what God's saying there. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 46. I'm going to read it, and you follow along. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany was the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Martha who anointed the Lord with ointment, with oil, and wiped his feet with her hair. We're going to read about this. We're going to talk about this in a couple weeks. It's in chapter 12, but John kind of gives us a heads up ahead of time. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the sister sent to him, to Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the light, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and she met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her, when they saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. There was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Resurrection. Resurrection. That's what this whole passage is about. Resurrection. There's a few resurrections in here. There's a few resurrections that are dealt with in these 46 verses. The first one, number one, is the obvious one. This is what the story is about. Lazarus, the resurrection of Lazarus. Lazarus was ill, then he died, then he was put in a cave, and then a stone was rolled in front of the cave, and then for 4 days his body decayed. He was dead. The point is made several times in this passage. There's no doubt he's dead. And Jesus comes, and he brings him back to life. And it's a miracle. It's an impossible miracle. But this resurrection is not the focus of these verses. It's not the miracle that is the main point, but it is what the miracle points to. See, the resurrection of Lazarus points to a couple other resurrections that this passage talks about, and those are the focus, those are the point. Now, there's a couple clues in here because, see, if the most important thing in this passage was for Lazarus to be alive, if that's the main thing in this passage, that Lazarus should be alive, then Jesus wouldn't have waited 2 days. Jesus wouldn't have delayed. It seems easiest to keep Lazarus alive for him never to have died. And if Jesus went and healed him, he wouldn't have died. If that was the most important thing, then Jesus would have gone and healed him and he would have never died. Verse 5 says that Jesus loved Lazarus, loved Mary, loved Martha. There was a close relationship there. We see that in other stories in the Bible. If the most important thing here was that because Jesus loved Lazarus, once he died, he wanted him alive. If the most important thing in this passage was Jesus expressing love to Lazarus, it seems like the more loving thing to do would to let him stay dead. Lazarus had already been through the tough part. And now for 4 days, he was in paradise. No more sin, no more sickness, no more brokenness. He was with his Creator. We can assume he was a God-fearing man. His family loved Christ and following him as much as they knew the picture of the Bible. They were trusting God. It seemed like the most loving thing to do would be to let Lazarus stay dead. But Jesus called him to make a sacrifice, to come back into this broken world, and then to do death all over again. Because Lazarus was going to die again. See, it wasn't just Lazarus being alive. It wasn't just that Jesus loved Lazarus, although he did. That's not the main point of the passage. The miracle is not the main point. It's what the miracle points to. But before we talk about those two, we want to just push the pause button just a second and make an application from this, from verse 5 and 6. Did you almost stopped as we read it, because every time you read those two verses together, it just kind of strikes you. They just don't seem to fit together, verse 5 and 6. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, because he loved them so, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Verses do not seem to fit. He loved them, so he stayed, and Lazarus died. And when he did come, they were grieving and wailing and mourning and in pain. Jesus loved them, and he let pain happen. It doesn't seem to fit. I don't know what you have sent to Jesus to help you with. I don't know what you've called on him to help you with. Maybe it's in a very similar circumstance, and in the waiting room of a hospital with a loved one on the verge of death, you called out, you sent to Jesus, please do a miracle. Please, if you come, you can do it, Lord. And he didn't. And instead of healing in life, there was death and grief. Maybe it wasn't something quite so drastic. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now, somebody, some circumstance that is painful, and you ask Jesus and you ask God, God, would you please change this? Would you please come? Would you please help? And Jesus, in your life, does what he does here in verse 6. He seems to stay where he is. He seems to not come. The tempting thing is for us to forget verse 5 when we're going through verse 6. The tempting thing is for us to create our own verse 5 and think he must not care. He must not see. He must not love because he's not answering. But verse 5 and 6 do go together. Just because there's pain, and sometimes, even, especially in the midst of pain, God, the truth still stands. God loves you. He loves you. And even though you may not understand, and even honestly, in this world, it may be longer than 2 days, it may be longer than 4 days, maybe longer than weeks and months and years and decades, you may never on this earth have an answer the way you are asking Jesus to answer. But if you are his child, the truth stands, he loves you, even when he's silent, even when he stays. The pages of Scripture, over and over, you look at the life of Joseph, you look at the life of Job, you look at the life of Paul the Apostle. They went through pain. Because we experience pain does not mean that Jesus does not love us. The resurrection of Lazarus is a miracle that points to something greater than just the resurrection of Lazarus. Here's a second resurrection in these verses. The resurrection of those who believe. The resurrection of those who believe. Jesus has this dialogue with Martha, and in verse 25, he says to her, and there's underlined in your program, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Did you hear that? Whoever believes in me, though he die, like Lazarus, yet shall he live. He will live. Whoever believes in me will be resurrected. You know, if you're with us for the first time today, you can go home and you can catch up with us because we've been going all the way through the book of John. You can read the first 10 chapters of John this afternoon and you will see over and over and over this concept, this phrase, this teaching. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, John 3:16, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Even though you die, you will live, you will have life. Jesus repeats it here. Whoever believes. Now, we kind of highlighted, shaded in gray. You'll see it in your insert. How many times the word believe shows up in these 46 verses? Do you see that? Believe, believe, believe. See, Jesus is doing this miracle to make a point to help the belief of those around him rise, happen. He's doing this to help those who see this and us who hear this believe. Believe in him. Look at verse 4. Again, it's underlined there. He says to the disciples, they don't get it yet. He says, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. What that means is that God, that Jesus, knows what he's going to do. And he knows that by raising Lazarus from the dead, it's going to point to who he is. It's going to point to his strength. It's going to point to his identity as God, as the Son of God. He's going to be glorified through it. He's going to be revealed through it. He knows that ahead of time. Verse 14, he says, Lazarus has died. He tells them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there. Did you hear that? For your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there to heal him. Why? So that, very important, so that you may believe. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I'm glad I was not there, because what's about to happen, the purpose of this is to help you believe. He says to Martha, he presses her in this conversation. He says, do you believe? At the end of this story, in verse 45, John makes the point that many who saw this believed. Do you see? That's the purpose of what's happening, to help those who see it, those who hear it, and us here who right now have read it, help us to believe and see more of who Jesus is. Now, there's kind of a little bullet, a little subpoint under two. And here's the truth, that Jesus grows our faith by revealing himself. Jesus grows our faith by revealing himself. That's what he's doing here. He says, the Son of Man's going to be glorified. I'm going to do this so that you will believe, so that your faith will grow, so that it will stir up faith in you towards me. This is so important. Listen, this is so important. Faith is not what we do to get God to respond. Let me say that again. Faith is not what we do to get God to respond. Faith is a response to what God has done. Faith is a response to what God has done. Lazarus coming back to life was on nobody's radar in this story. Nobody's. The disciples are kind of worried about their personal safety. They're worried that the rabbi is going to have more problems and be killed, which he was eventually. They don't get it. He goes and he talks to Mary and Martha, and they're in grief. They know that if Jesus was there, that he could have done something, but it's nowhere on their radar about what he's about to do to raise Lazarus from the dead. The people that came from Jerusalem, that were there mourning and wailing with Mary, and a couple of them at least, that rolled away that stone. I don't know what was going through their mind when they rolled away the stone like Jesus said that they told them to, but it was on nobody's radar that he was about to raise this man. Martha said, he's been dead for 4 days, Jesus. There is going to be a smell. See, nobody dreamed the dream that Lazarus would rise and began to pray and plead with Jesus, please raise him from the dead, please raise him from the dead. And Jesus did not say, you know what, that's a good idea. I'll do that because you asked. It was Jesus' idea. It was what Jesus was doing. And their belief resulted from what Jesus did. You see, it's the same for us. There can be this idea with us many times that we need to somehow reach down and kind of conjure up faith and really believe. If you really believe, then you can ask God and he will do great things. Listen, God has done great things. He has done great things, and he has done them to stir up in our hearts belief and faith towards him. The Bible says, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by seeing what he has done. Faith comes by remembering what he has done. If you struggle with your faith, if you struggle with unbelief, if you're wrestling to trust God, don't look inside of you, look outside of you. Look at what God has done. Fuel your heart with the works of God. You say, I know what the Bible says, I've read it. Read it again and keep reading it and keep remembering it and keep reminding one another about it. Let's keep singing about it, because it's as we look at what God has done, as we look at how the Son of Man has glorified himself in this story and in all the other stories we're reading as we go through this, and all of the stories of the Bible is here to stir up in us belief and faith. God reveals himself. He has done great things. The greatest is the cross. Do you know that's why we go to Africa? That's why we share with our neighbors? Is because how can people believe in one they have not heard of? How can someone believe in Jesus if they have never heard, or they forget, or they aren't exposed to the incredible things that he has done? Faith comes by hearing the word of God, hearing what he has done. If you want to grow your faith, fuel it by focusing on the works of God. The resurrection of Lazarus points to the resurrection of those who believe. But ultimately, it points to something even bigger than that in this story. Look at verse 25 again. When Jesus is talking to Martha, he says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." I am. Do you believe that if whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live? Do you believe that? I am the resurrection. See, the greatest resurrection in this passage is Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection. Lazarus was raised from the dead so that we would not just see that, but so we would ultimately see Jesus. The Son of Man might be glorified, that Jesus is the resurrection. Now, what does that mean? To understand that fully, to understand how Jesus is the resurrection, we have to first think about and understand the reality of the need for resurrection. Why is there even a need for resurrection? Why does anybody die? Why does Jesus have to stand at this tomb and raise Lazarus from the dead? The truth is, from Scripture, that the two things that we as a race hate to talk about, think about, dwell on more than anything, the two things that we try to avoid are death. We don't like to talk about death. We don't like to think about death. We try to dress up death as palatably as possible. And sin. We don't like to talk about our sin. We don't like to talk about what is sin. We don't like to talk about our personal failings. We don't like to talk about those two things. But you know what? Those two things are connected. The Bible says that because of sin, because of rebellion against our Creator God, going all the way back to our first two ancestors who launched out on their own and rebelled against their loving, strong Creator, because of that, death entered the world. Do you know why death is so hard? Do you know why we weep so much and we hurt so bad? It's because we were not hardwired to deal with death. That was never the plan. Now, God knew it would happen, but that's not how he designed the world to work. Death entered the world through sin. Why is there a need for resurrection? Because you and I and everyone else in our race has rebelled against God. And because of that, there's death. Now, Lazarus didn't die. He didn't have that illness specifically because of his sin. But listen, our world is broken and people get cancer and people die and there are accidents and things are not as they should be. And there is death. For some of us, it will be sooner than later. And Jesus stands there and says, "I am the resurrection. I am the solution. I am the rescuer from death." And one of the most amazing things in this passage is that Jesus was standing there at all. Because The one who has been offended, God, the creator of us, stepped down onto the earth, took on the form of our brokenness, and then stood in front of this tomb in the midst of all of this pain and suffering that was created by people that he made that rebelled against him. He stood in the midst, and his response was, did you read that? To weep. He wept with those who wept. He wept and was deeply troubled in the midst of his rebellious creation. And you say, well, he could have avoided it by just going there and healing Lazarus. Listen, don't miss the point. Lazarus was going to die someday. The point was not that moment. The point was the whole reality of why that moment even happened in the first place. That we are struggling in the pain of what we ourselves have created. And instead of letting us go, God steps down into the midst of it. And he stands before the tomb and he weeps with those who weep. And he says, I am the resurrection. You have created your own pit, but I am going to rescue you. The last one in the universe who should have, who had any compelling, should have had any responsibility to fix our problem, is the only one who can. And the one who stepped down and did. So he stands in the before that cave in the midst of all the grief, and he fixes it. He changes it. He himself, the resurrection, he himself, the solution, raises Lazarus. But it's not just about Lazarus. A few weeks after that, he was going to walk to a cross and bleed. And then, like all of us will be, he was put in a tomb. And he, the resurrection, rose from the dead to conquer sin. And one day, if you believe, first of all, in the reality of your need for resurrection and why you will die, if you believe the reason for that is your sin against God, and you believe that your only hope is Jesus, that he is the resurrection, listen, one day, the Lord himself will descend from heaven. And just like he stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus and cried out, Lazarus, come out, the Lord will come down and he will, with a cry of command, he will cry out and the dead in Christ will rise. Just like Lazarus. Just like Lazarus. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. We will always be with the Lord. See, the resurrection is not just a day. Resurrection is not just a time. Resurrection is not just something good that will happen to you. Resurrection is Jesus. Resurrection is Jesus. He's the reason, the only hope you have of being resurrected. The only hope you have now of having real life. Your eyes opened. And resurrection is not about just being in a better place. Resurrection is about being with the Lord forever. And that verse in 1 Thessalonians says, encourage one another with these words. Are you encouraged by those words? Or let's listen in on this conversation Jesus had with Martha. And let's ask ourselves, do you believe? Do you believe? You say, well, yes, I believe. I have been a Christian for however many years. Listen, the purpose of this passage is to stir up faith, is to grow our faith wherever we're at. His purpose for the disciples was that so they would believe. We say, well, but the disciples, they've been walking for 3 years with Jesus. They left everything. They were all in. They believed. Mary and Martha believed to the point they said, if you were here, he would not have died. You would have changed it. You would have stopped it. You would have healed him. They certainly believed. Jesus did this that even they would grow in their faith, would see who Jesus is more. Those who came from Jerusalem, they didn't come to see Jesus, many of them. They didn't even know he was coming. They came to comfort their friends, and yet in the middle of that, God intercepted them, and they saw what he did. Wherever you're at, whether you have walked with Christ for 30 years, whether you are not walking with Christ, the purpose of this passage is the same, so that you would believe. So that you would believe. Maybe for the first time. Maybe so that your belief will be strengthened, as God's purpose was for the disciples, as God's purpose was for Mary and Martha. Do you believe? Father, we are so thankful that you have not left us to try to be full of faith. You have not left us to try to conjure up a belief in you to get you to do something. Lord, you have done something. You have initiated, not that we loved you, God, but that you first loved us. You have revealed yourself to us. You have stepped into your rebellious creation and you have taken on death. You have walked through death. You have taken our sin and conquered both. Lord, you are our hope. And Lord, may we see in this passage, your heart, your, as Romans 8 talks about, that you are for us. That for those who love you and are called according to purpose, you work all things for good, even painful, hard things. Lord, may we see fresh again. And then tomorrow, God, please show us and please help us to remember so that we will not grow dull to who you are, to your goodness, your grace towards those who do not believe. Lord, we do believe. May we believe. Help our unbelief, Lord, by continuing to reveal yourself to us through the pages of your word, what you have done. We bless you, Lord, and we pray this in your name. Amen.